All right, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 13, okay? And we're not talking about dating, we're talking about friends. So we're all in the friend zone tonight, all right? We are going to be talking about friends. But I want to tell you about some, they're actually not friends, they're brothers that I learned about this week. One of them was named Wes, and the other one was named Tony. And Tony and Wes, so Tony's the older one. Tony was cool. Wes was like, Tony is awesome. Tony had it all together. I don't know if you ever have an older sibling like that. I was lucky enough to have an older sibling who I thought was super cool, and I wanted to be just like him. And that's how Wes felt about Tony. Tony was, he had it all together. He looked cool. He was athletic. He was strong. He was good looking. He was the guy that Wes wanted to be when he grew up, right? And maybe some of you older siblings think that's you. You should ask your younger sibling and find out later. But Wes wanted to be just like Tony. And so then Tony, the problem was, is Tony, he had a lot of money, even though he was young. And Wes was like, oh, I wonder how he got so much money. Well, it turns out Tony was involved in some bad stuff. Tony was involved in some gangs and some drug dealings. But Wes thought it was cool. Wes, younger brother, you know, he's like, oh yeah, Tony's the best. Tony's so cool. I want to be like Tony. And he started doing the same things that Tony was doing. He started participating in all the illegal things and all that. And Tony actually told his younger brother, he said, I don't want you to be like me. I know you want to be like me. I know you think I'm cool. I know you think I have it all together. But I don't want you to get wrapped up in all the stuff that I'm into because I can't get out of it, right? If you know anything about how this stuff works, you can't leave it because people want to kill you. You owe people money. People owe you money. And it gets really messy really fast. And eventually, Tony, he actually beat up his brother to get him to stop pursuing that same gang lifestyle. But Wes didn't listen, and they ended up actually going to jail together down the road because they ended up shooting and killing a police officer. I hope you don't end up like that. And maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, it's not me. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm trying to illustrate here is if you hang out with the wrong type of people, even if you're not always doing all the wrong things, you end up becoming like the people you hang out with. You become like the people you hang out with. There's a stat. I don't know if it's a stat. There's a thing out there that says you become like your five closest friends. So if you want to know what you're going to be like at the end of this year, right? Think about where you were last year when you started your whatever, your junior year, your sophomore year, your seventh grade year. Think about what you were like last year. The reason you are who you are this year, a big part of that is because of the people you spent the most time around this past school year. And if you want to know what you're going to be like at this time next year, right, next summer, what am I going to be like? Look at the people around you that you're going to spend the most time with, right? Your teammates, your friends, your classmates, your siblings. Those are the people that are going to turn you into who you're going to be. And so that actually idea doesn't just come from the internet. It comes from the Bible. It comes from our passage in Proverbs 13. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 13:20 if you're not already there. I'll put it on the screen for you if you need it. It says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, okay? You walk with wise people, you become a wise person, right? That idea of walking with someone. It's not just like, oh yeah, I go on a walk with a wise person every morning at 7. This is the idea of you live life with them, right? We talk about maybe you've been in church, that people will ask you, oh, how's your walk with Jesus, right? This is your lifestyle, your walk. It's just how you live. You live with wise people. You spend time with wise people. You talk to wise people. You watch wise people online. You're going to become wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. I don't know why there's two periods there, but maybe just extra emphasis. I'm not sure. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. See, we need God's wisdom for our friendships, right? Because the problem that we've talked about for all of Proverbs is that you and I are really bad at knowing what's good for us. You and I are really bad at knowing what types of people we need to hang out with. You and I are really bad at knowing what to place our value on. You and I are really bad at knowing what's good for us, and that's why we need God's wisdom to help us live, right? We've talked about how wisdom is how we use God's rules in everyday life, right? God gives guidelines, God gives principles to live by, and wisdom is knowing how to execute it, right? Wisdom is knowing, okay, I know that Jesus is God, but wisdom is knowing how that works in everyday life, right? So we want God's wisdom for our friendships too, okay? And so our 3 points now are gonna be really simple. We'll start with the first one. The first one that I actually realized that I spelled wrong, but that's fine. It's supposed to be find good friends, but that works too. Find God friends, because good friends are God friends. There you go. You know, this is like probably my least favorite part about typing things and spell check and stuff is there's some words like, you know, like the becomes like they, or, you know, you put the wrong there and it doesn't tell you it's spelled wrong. So you have to actually like proofread your own things. Pro tip right there. So let's be find good friends. Okay. There you go. Find good friends. Because you become like the people you're going to hang out with, right? We've talked about this before. But a lot of us don't take it seriously, right? Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, which we'll get there probably in 4 years with Pastor PJ. He says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Maybe your parents have told you this, right? Oh, don't hang out with those bad people because you're going to be like them and it's going to not be good for you, right? You've probably heard that before. You have a question or something. Great question. Morals, that's like what you think is good, what you think is right, right? So your morals, that's like your compass, your internal compass of, oh, this is good or this is bad, right? Yeah, great question. So bad company, right? If you're with bad people who have bad morals, that's going to turn your morals into bad morals, right? It's going to break your compass and you're going to start thinking good things are bad and bad things are good, right? That's what happens here. Now, maybe you just know this part, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. You're like, great. Why do you think he starts with this part? Don't be deceived. Exactly, right? What the problem is every one of us, we think, oh, but not for me. I can hang out with those people and it won't ruin my life. I can hang out with those people and it's not going to be that bad for me. I'm the one that's different. All of us think that. And that's why he puts this up here. Don't be deceived, because you and I think we can make it. You and I think, well, I'm the exception. I'm the person that can just not be influenced by the people around me. I'm the trailblazer. I'm the alpha. I'm the leader. I can do this. And they, maybe I'm just not like everyone else. And that's especially true, I think, usually the younger we are. It's easier for us to think, well, I'm the one that's going to make it. Those older people, my parents, my grandparents, they don't know what they're talking about. The Bible is an old book. It's just a bunch of rules. It's trying to ruin my life and let me not have fun. That's called being deceived. You cannot escape this. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you hang out with the wrong people, you are going to become a foolish person. Right? And foolish, not just someone who's foolish, has nothing to do with intelligence. Right? There's very smart people that are foolish. Being foolish has everything to do with what you think about God and how you live. Is it his way or your way? It's foolish to live your way. We've talked about that all summer long. But you don't just become like the people you hang out with. I want you to notice the second half of our verse, right? We've talked about how there's like parallel things in Proverbs, right? There's like the first half and the second half, right? So you're reading this verse and you're like, okay, right. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools, if you had to fill in the blank, you would say, become a fool, right? That's what you expect to see. Oh yeah, if you hang out with wise people, you become wise. If you hang out with foolish people, you become foolish. But guess what? It doesn't say that, does it? It says you'll suffer harm. You will be in trouble. You'll get hurt. You hang out with the wrong people, you'll get hurt. That's different, right? That doesn't just mean you'll become like them. It means there's consequences for the people you hang out with. Maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've experienced this at school this week already, right? You sit with the person who's talking, who's messing around, and then you're sitting next to them and they make a joke and you laugh, and guess who's in trouble? You are, right? Not the person who made the joke, right? The companion of fools got in trouble, right? They suffered harm. Or maybe you were hanging out with some people and maybe you've been in a situation like this. You guys were breaking the rules, maybe even breaking the law, right? Think about like a car accident. Just because you're not the one driving, right? Maybe the driver's speeding and you're in the back seat, and they hit someone, well, who's gonna suffer the consequences of them hitting someone? Everyone in the car, not just the driver. So maybe you're not the driver of foolishness, but maybe you're still in the car. You're a companion of foolish people. If you're still in the car of foolish people, and maybe it's not an actual car, maybe it's you hang out with them, maybe it's you spend a lot of time with them. If you're in the car, you're gonna get hurt. You spend enough time with people who don't like God, who don't live according to the wisdom that he gives us, you're gonna get hurt, right? Living apart from God, living independently, living our own way, hurts people all the time. All the time. And so if you spend enough time in the car of a foolish person, you will get in an accident, right? You might go to the hospital. You might die. And I'm not just talking about cars. I'm talking about life. And so the world wants to deceive us about friendship, right? Your heart wants to trick you about friendship and what types of people you should be friends with. There's a couple maybe lies that I think would be good for you to be alerted to about friendship, okay? The first thing that I want you to be worried about, I guess, wary of, right, in terms of a lie, is that the world will tell you, and maybe your heart will tell you this, that having things in common is the most important thing about friendship. I need to have things in common with this person to be friends with them, right? We need to like the same things. We need to be from the same area, or have the same personality, or think the same things are funny, or have the same interests. Right? The world will tell you that you should be with people that are like you. And that's the basis for your friendship. All of these surface level commonalities. But what I want to ask you is, what do you base your friendships on? What do you build your friendships around? Are your friendships built around sports? Are they built around homework? Are they built around you don't like that teacher? Are they built around you guys like the same YouTubers? What do you build your friendships around? Because all of those things, if you build your friendship on that, that's a very thin friendship. That's a very weak friendship, right? If your friendship is built around playing the same video game together, that's not the type of friend that's going to help you be wise. That's a paper-thin friendship. So what do you found your friendships on? What do you build them on? If you're going to find good friends, you need to build your friendships on substantial things, right? Not just surface-level commonalities, but, oh, we both love Jesus. That's the foundation of our friendship, right? In fact, we don't just both love Jesus. Jesus has changed us, right? He's made us who we are. He's put us into the same family. Maybe another lie that you believe about friendship is that the point of friends is to have fun. That's what the world tells you. The point of friends is to have fun. It's to do fun things together. It's to enjoy yourself. It's to do a lot of unserious things together. What I want to ask you then is, what's the goal of your friendship? If the goal of your friendship is to have fun, again, that's a weak friendship. Right? That's a diet friendship, right? That's a low sodium friendship. That's a gluten-free friendship, right? That's a sugar-free friend. You ever had sugar-free ice cream? It's like the worst thing ever, right? You don't want a sugar-free friendship. That you want a friendship that's meaty, that lasts, that satisfies, right? If your friendships are all just about having fun, you never have any serious conversations with your friends, that friendship is not going to really matter to you in the long run, right? When your parents are going through a hard time, when you get really sick, when your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you, when you fail that class, doesn't matter how many good memories you have playing Rocket League with your friends, right? You want a friend who knows God's word, who cares about you, and who loves you. Doesn't matter how many jokes they can tell, because you need a friend who's really going to be there and care for you. So what is the goal of your friendship? Is the goal of your friendship just to have fun? Or is it to really have someone who's going to walk through life with you, to be there for you when things really matter? Another lie you might think about friendship is that friendship shouldn't take work. It should just come naturally. You won't have friends for very long if you don't put in work, right? And if you make friends with people, right, you don't want a friend who's only going to be friends with you when it's easy to be friends with you. Because if we're honest, it's not easy to be friends with all of us for very long. It's not easy to be friends with someone, a sinner, for a super long time, because guess what? Guess what sinners do? They sin, right? And so if you think, well, I'm only going to be friends with this person when it's easy, or this person, I just want to be friends with people when it's easy to be friends with people, then you're not going to find any good friends, because they're going to be gone as soon as your life is hard. As soon as you're busy, or as soon as you're going through something, they're going to be like, well, it's too much work to be friends with this person. I'm not going to do it anymore. As soon as you really have real problems, they're just gonna be like, oh, I'm out. And it doesn't matter, again, how much fun you had with them if they're not gonna stick around when it takes work to be friends, when they have to forgive you, when you have to confess sin to them, right? You want a friend who's gonna be there then. You don't just want a friend who's gonna hop on your game together online and hang out. Maybe a lie you think about friends is that you don't need them. Maybe you're just like, I don't need friends, I'm good. And God, from the beginning of the Bible, has said it's not good for you to be by yourself, right? He hasn't designed you to be a lone ranger. So maybe you're thinking, well, I don't need to find good friends because I'm fine on my own, right? Well, you're going against the design of the person who made you. Like, God made you, and he made you to have friends. He made you to have people to help you because we need help. And that's what a lot of this comes from. A lot of this comes from us not being honest with ourselves. If I need friends, I really do. It's not just, friends aren't a luxury. Friends aren't optional. Your life requires friends because you're going to have real problems and real struggles and real sin, and you need real friends to help you. You don't just need fun friends. You don't just need flaky friends. You need real friends. So find good friends. Well, we talked about some lies about friendship, but what makes someone a good friend? Right? What makes someone a good friend? If you're going to look for friends, if you're going to find friends that are really going to be there when you need them to be, who are really going to help you grow in wisdom and love Jesus, well, what makes someone a good friend? Well, the first thing I want to ask you this is do you even want the friends that you need? Because you might not want these type of friends. You might not want friends who are going to be the friends you need them to be, okay? Let's start with this. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Adversity is like when things are really hard. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Right? One of the things you should look for in a friend is someone who's loyal, right? Someone who cares about you, not just when it's easy to care about you or when it's convenient to care about you, but at all the times, right? A brother is born for adversity. A best friend, a close friend, is made for those situations when life is really hard or when you don't know what you're going to do next, when you don't know how you're going to keep trusting the Lord, when you can't keep fighting that sin. That's when you need friends. You want friends that actually love Jesus more than you. And what I mean by that, I don't just mean friends that, okay, I love Jesus this much and they love Jesus more. I mean friends that care about Jesus more than they care about you. Because those are the friends that are going to care about you more. Does that make sense? Because you need friends that are loyal to your good, not just what you want, right? In our culture right now, especially, but in general, we like surrounding ourselves with people that just affirm everything about us. That I heard, I was actually the same interview I mentioned at Revival about Tom Brady and his psychologist. He was talking about how all of these young athletes, their whole life, they're surrounded by people who just say, you're the best, right? They're in high school and they're the best player on their team, and all their teammates are like, oh yeah, you're so good. You're great. You don't need to listen to anyone. And their coach usually is like, well, they're the star player. So he's like, well, you're the best. You're awesome. And then they get an agent, and the agent is like, you're so good. You deserve all this money. You're going to do all these great things. And they're just surrounded by people that say, you're great. You're great. You're great. You're great. And then these people never learn how to actually grow. These athletes, they meet a coach who actually says, you need to work on this, and they get offended because the coach is actually trying to coach them, right? The coach is actually trying to help them grow. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't think I'm the greatest baseball player of all time? What's wrong with you? All right, you need friends who are committed to your good. They're not just committed to what you want to hear. All right, you need friends that are gonna be honest with you, right? And that's where this next thing goes in Proverbs 27, 5-6. It says, it's better to have open rebuke, right? It's better for someone to call you out for something than to love you and not tell you about it. It's better for someone to say, hey, you know what? The way that you talk to people is it comes across as really prideful. Maybe you need someone to tell you that. But if they never tell you, but they really care about you, but they never show you that they care about you, that's not very helpful, right? It's better to have someone who's gonna tell you what they think and how to help you than to not say anything at all. And then verse 6, this is one of my favorites. Faith, so the wounds of a friend are faithful. I know it's kind of backward, it's like Yoda, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? The wounds of a friend are faithful. And then profuse, that means like a lot, like overflowing, right? Are the kisses of an enemy, right? Someone who doesn't like you, they're gonna act like, oh wow, you're so good. They're gonna overflow with flattery, right? But someone who really cares about you, they're gonna wound you. That's what this proverb is saying. They're gonna tell you hard things. Not because they wanna hurt you, but because they wanna help you. Pastor Rod said it to me actually when I was in high school. He said, you need friends who stab you in the front. You need friends who stab you in the front, not stab you in the back, right? You don't just want a bunch of friends who are gonna say, who are gonna lie to you and tell you how great you are. That might feel good for a little bit, but if you just surround yourself with friends who are never gonna tell you hard things, who are never gonna call out sin in your life, who are never gonna challenge you to help you grow, who are never gonna disagree with you when you're being dumb, who are never gonna say, you know what, you actually shouldn't go to that party. Or you know what, you actually are really reckless with your words. You really should stop talking about that right now. Or you really need to delete that app off your phone. Or you're really lazy with your Bible reading, right? You need friends who will tell you that. Those are the kind of friends that care about your soul, right? They're loyal to you, to your good. They're not just loyal to you feeling good. They're loyal to actually what's good for you, right? They make you eat your vegetables. Right? You need friends like that. But you also need friends that know God's word, right? Later in this chapter, it says, all right, and the thing about back in the day, right? Oil and perfume make the heart glad, right? Things that smell good. Because if you think like back then, they didn't have deodorant, they didn't have scented candles, they didn't have air fresheners, right? And they didn't have plumbing. So things that smelled good were great. Right? You loved things that smelled good. And what makes a friend smell good to your soul, right? Is earnest counsel. What does that mean? It means they care. They're earnest, right? They care. And counsel, they're wise. Right? They know God's word and they care about you. And that's really what makes a friend a good friend. So I guess our point isn't that bad when you need to find God friends, right? You need to find friends that that know God and that want you to love God. And they care more about you loving God than you liking them. Right? If your friends care about you liking them more than they care about your relationship with Jesus, that's not a good friend because they're never going to risk anything to help you because they don't want to mess up your relationship. But if they really care about you, right, they're going to use God's word. They're going to know God's word and use it in your life. Right? You need friends that are doing the things that we're talking about, right? That are applying God's word, taking things that God says and actually living it out. Because those are the friends that are really going to help you. One thing that you maybe probably never thought about with a friend is, do I want to be like this person? Not do I want to like this person, but do I want to be like this person? Right, think about your friends. You don't have to look at them right now, but think about them. And I want you to think, do I want to be more like this person by the end of the year? Do I want to act like them? Do I want to talk to my parents like they talk to their parents? Do I want to drive like them? Do I want to do my homework like them? Do I want to love Jesus the way they love Jesus? Do I want to respond to hard situations the way they respond to hard situations? Do I want to handle my emotions the way they handle their emotions? Because if you spend enough time around them, that's what you're going to be. You're going to be like them. So maybe when you think about who should I be friends with this year, or who should I be close friends with maybe, you should think about who do I want to be like? Right, when it's 2027, who do I want to look like? Who do I want to sound like? Who do I want to talk like? Something else that you might not have thought about with friends is, do I respect this person? Do I actually value this person? Right, what they say. Right? When this person gives me advice, would I listen? That's the person you want to be friends with. Right? You don't want to be friends with the person who's who you're like, oh, I don't care what they think. It doesn't matter. Right? It's not someone you want to be friends with. Because your friends are going to give input into your life. And if you don't respect them and their opinion, if you wouldn't listen to them, then why are you friends with them? And I'm not saying when I talk about friends, I hope you understand, I'm not trying to say you should never talk to these people, right? I'm saying that these are the people that you're walking with, right? You're running with. These are the people that you're spending your most time with, you're talking about your problems with, that you're sharing your happiness with, right? These are the people that are always at the top of your text message thing because you're texting them. They're involved in your life, right? You don't have to pin them because they're already there. Right? I remember Shay and I were talking about this. She's like, why don't you have me pinned on your phone? And I was like, because I'm always texting you. I don't need to pin you. You're always at the top of the message list, right? Right? Those are the people I'm talking about. These are the people that you need to respect these people. You need to be willing to listen to these people. You need these people to care about you. We need to be there for you. And that's what you want to look for in a friend. Maybe you're thinking, I don't have good friends. Maybe you've heard this and you're like, I don't have a lot of good friends. Or maybe you're thinking, I wish I had friends like that, but all my friends stink. Maybe that's what you're thinking. I hope not, but maybe you are. The best way for you to find good friends is to be a good friend. And that's our second point. Be a good friend. I spelled it right this time. That's proof that I can spell. Be a good friend. All right, the best way to make friends is to start being a good friend. Because good friends will respond well to good friendship, right? If you take friendship seriously, the good friends in your life will respond to that and follow your lead and take it seriously, right? If you start talking about serious things, the good friends in your life will say, yeah, sign me up. I want more of that, right? If you start taking your faith seriously and taking your relationship with God seriously, the bad friends in your life are going to say, oh, you're weird now. You're not as fun as you used to be. The good friends in your life are going to say, "I this is great. I want more of this." So if you start being a good friend, the good friends in your life will find you because they want more of that. And that's what makes them a good friend, is they want good friendship. So God says a lot about what it looks like to be a good friend. We talked about some of that. But we talked about being committed to the best interests of your friends, right? And my mom always told me, to love someone means you want what's best for them. It doesn't mean you have warm fuzzies about them. It doesn't mean that you know, you get hard eyes when you see them. To love someone means you want what's good for them. You don't necessarily want what they want. You want what's good for them. You want what's best for them. And that's really what friendship is I am committed to your good. I don't care if you like me. I don't care if you want me. I care about your good. That's what good friends do. Right? Friendship is hard work. People are sinners. People, it's hard to be friends with me. I'm sure it's hard to be friends with you. People are hard to love. And so a good friend loves their friend when their friend's not lovable. That's what good friends do. Right? If you're going to be a good friend to someone, you should love them when they're at their worst. Right? When they're mad at you, when they're not treating you well, when things aren't going the way you want them to go, right? That's when good friends step up. Good friends are humble, right? That's part of it, right? You have to care about the other person and their interests more than your own a lot, right? Philippians 2 says that we should count other people as more significant than ourselves. That we should say, you know what, your good is more important than my good. My good friends are humble, right? No one wants to be friends with someone that's all about themselves. No one wants to be friends with a selfish person, right? A good friend is gonna put the other person's interests ahead of themselves. They're gonna say, you know what, you need this more than I do right now. I'm here for you. I'm not in this friendship for me. I'm in this friendship to love you and to support you and for your good, right? And that's humility. Right? If you're in your friendships for what you can get out of it, someone might say that you're a parasite, right? Someone might say that you're just in the friendship to suck all the energy out of the other person, right? You're not there to give anything to them. Selfishness and envy will kill your friendships. They'll kill your friendship. And it's really hard, right, to not be selfish. I mean, if you think about this, I don't know if you've, how deeply you've thought about this, but American sports are actually built on selfishness. Because if you think, if you really wanted to, right? Because you know how all this NFL players, all the NBA players, they say, oh yeah, you know, my number one goal every year is to win the Super Bowl, right? And I'm all about the team, whatever, right? Well, guess what? If you know that all the best NFL players, if they wanted to, they could all join the same team if they just took less money. You understand that, right? Like Myles Garrett and Patrick Mahomes and Puka Nacua, and they could all just say, you know what, I guess half of them are on the Rams anyway, but they could all just say, you know what, we're all going to get on the best team together. If we all took $5 million a year, which is a lot of money, they could all just join the best team and get on the same team together. But you know why they don't do that? Because they're selfish. Because they don't want to be a third stringer on the best team. They'd rather be a starter and make more money on an okay team than form the Monstars, right? The All-Stars. But the Dodgers, they don't take less money. They just spend more money. Yeah, well, they defer all the payments. Weston, it's not the Dodgers' fault. The Royals don't want to spend money, okay? But anyway, even like any sport, right? If they wanted to, right? Like think about basketball, right? Think about basketball, right? All the good players, if they wanted to, could all get on the same team and just dominate. But they don't. They don't because they want more money, right? They're selfish. Exactly. If that's you in your friendships, right? If your whole friendship is, well, I care more about my well-being than my friend, you're gonna tank your friendship. We talked about this before, but your friendships need you to be honest. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Right? This is gossip right here, right? Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know that so-and-so did this? Right? A good friend is trustworthy. Right? If you can't keep a secret, you're a bad friend. If you just have to tell everything about your friends to everyone, you are failing them as a friend, right? If you want to find a good friend, find someone you can trust, right? When you tell them something, they need to be trustworthy. They need to be able to handle it well with wisdom. But you also need to be honest, right? And that's this part right here. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, right? You need to love people, your friends, enough to forgive them. Right, if you are keeping score in your friendship isn't gonna last very long. Right, if you're easily offended, you're gonna be really hard to be friends with. If you hold on to bitterness, you're not gonna be a very good friend. A few verses later, the beginning of strife, right, conflict, is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. I thought of this, so when I was a kid, at the beach, I didn't want to surf or boogie board or go in the water or anything. I just wanted to build sandcastles when I was a kid. And so I would try to build sandcastles that would like survive a really long time after all the waves. And see what happens with sand, right? Is if there's like a hole in your wall, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? You have to cover the hole immediately, right? You can't wait. You got to cover it right away. The longer you let the hole grow, and the more water you let come in, it just destroys the whole thing. And that's kind of like if you have conflict with someone, right? Someone offends you, you got to deal with it right away, right? You can't just hold on to it and just get angrier and angrier and more upset about it, right? You deal with it there instead of saying, well, oh, can you believe that they said this to me, and you tell your other friend, and then you tell your other friend, or yeah, this person did this to me, and you know, have they ever done this like to you? Right, you spread it and it just destroys everything. You need to be able to resolve conflict with your friends. You need to go to them and say, hey, you know, that was really hurtful. You know, I'd appreciate if you didn't say things this way. You know, is there anything that I need to do to be a better friend to you, right? You get to be quick to address conflict. You also need to be vulnerable to be a good friend, because being a good friend is risky. because you're putting yourself out there to get burned, right? You pour yourself into someone, you care about their good, you pray for them, you invest in them, you ask them questions, and then they leave you. They burn you. They let you down, right? It's risky to be a good friend. You have to, you're setting yourself up to get hurt. And you have to be vulnerable to do that. But you also have to be willing to put in more than you'll get out sometimes, right? Friendships are not 50-50. They might be, but they might not be, right? If you're going into your friendship trying to get out what you put in, if that's your goal, that's not going to go very well, because you're going to be constantly thinking, oh, well, this person's not doing this, they're not doing this, they're not doing this, they're not doing this. But also, it's okay if you're not a perfect friend. No one's a perfect friend. Right? One of the best ways to make friends is actually to share that you're not perfect. Right? One of the best ways to get to know someone is to confess your sin, right? To be vulnerable, to be open. And sometimes you have to take initiative. Maybe you're saying, well, I no one ever gets to share stuff with me, and I don't feel like my friendships are getting deep, and I'm not growing, and to get to know people, well, maybe you need to start. Maybe they're waiting for you to open up. So don't wait until you're perfect to be a good friend, right? Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have my life together. I can't be a good friend. Well, if you just keep waiting till you're perfect, guess what? You're never gonna be a good friend at all. And the last thing to being a good friend is you need to love Jesus more than you love your friends. Because if you love your friends more than you love Jesus, you are doing them a disservice. When Shay and I got married, our first vow, or at least my first vow on when I wrote them out, was I will love Jesus more than I love you. Right? That's what I promised to her almost 2 years ago. And the reason I said that is not because I don't care about her, but the best thing I can do is to love Jesus most. And the best thing you can do as a friend is love Jesus most. Because if you need your friends more than you need Jesus, you're putting your friends in a position that they can't be. Your friends can't be Jesus for you. Your friends can't be your savior. Your friends can't fix all your problems. Your friends can't forgive your sins. Your friends can't give you the peace and comfort and security that you need from God. So if you love your friends more than you love Jesus, that's called an idol. And the best thing you can do for your friends is love Jesus more than your friends. There was one author, the way he put it is, you need to start loving people and stop needing people. Right? If you just need people, you need people to fill all the emptiness in your life, that's turning them into an idol. You're asking them to do what God needs to do. But all of your best friends, even if they're awesome, will let you down, right? And that's why our third point is to make friends with Jesus. Make friends with Jesus. I know some people, this is weird to them for a few reasons, right? You can't see Jesus. You can't give Jesus a high five. You can't go play soccer with Jesus. Which that would be his favorite sport if he had one. But this is kind of weird for some people. This is even potentially dangerous, right? Because they don't want you to call Jesus their friend or your friend, because they think that's lowering Jesus, right? Jesus is the king. Jesus is the Lord, right? He's not just your buddy, which is true. He is the king. But King Jesus says that if you are trusting in him, you're his friend, right? You get to be friends with the king. And that's why when we talk about following Jesus, we don't just say, oh yeah, do all the things Jesus says, right? When he says jump, you say how high. It's true, right? If Jesus says do something, you do it. But there's also a closeness. There's a personal, there's a friendship that you have with Jesus when you follow him. It doesn't lower him. It's just you're adding, right? You're not taking away from his kingship, his authority. You're just adding on friendship to that, right? He says this in John 15. He says, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Now that sounds really weird, right? None of your friends should ever tell you this. None of your friends that are humans should ever say, yep, you can be my friend if you obey me, right? That's don't be friends with, if anyone else says that to you, don't be friends with them, right? You should probably run away. If they say, yeah, if you obey my every command, you could be my friend, right? That's weird. No one should say that. But the reason that Jesus says that is because when you think about it, why does God give us commands? Why does God give us commands? Right? Maybe you think, okay, well, he gives us commands because they're for our good, right? They protect us, they help us. It's one reason. Another reason God gives us commands is because it helps us be close with him. Maybe you've never thought about that before. But God's commands, right, the things that Jesus asks you to do are to help you be close with him. They're to develop your relationship with him. Now, Jesus gives you commands to help you love him. So obeying Jesus is the same thing as being close with Jesus. Right? Sometimes I think we can make those things separate in our heads, right? Well, some things I do, I obey Jesus because he's the Lord. And then some things I do because it's personal, right? Maybe you think, yeah, I read my Bible because I'm obeying Jesus, but I sing songs to Jesus because I'm being close with Jesus. Like, well, that's all the same thing. And maybe you're someone out there, maybe you think I am friends with Jesus, but you don't do what he says. Well, Jesus would say, sorry, you're not my friend, right? If you call Jesus your friend and you don't do anything he says, if you're disobeying him, you're dishonoring him, you're disrespecting him, you're not his friend, right? You're gonna stand there and say, oh, Jesus, my friend, it's time for me to go to heaven. And he's gonna say, depart from me, I never knew you. So don't trick yourself into thinking you're friends with Jesus if you're really not, right? But he gives us this great privilege of, hey, if you're following me, you're not just my servant, you are his slave if you follow Jesus, but you're also his friends because he lifts you, he brings you up from your position of slave and says, I'll be your friend too. And so I just want you all to see how amazing of a friend Jesus is. In John 13:1, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually. Now before the Passover, right? So Jesus, he's about to die, right? When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world, to be with the Father, having loved his own, the disciples who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Which this is just the coolest thing, right? Jesus lived with these people, his disciples, right? Peter, James, John, Matthew, Judas not Iscariot, the other Judas, right? Bartholomew, Nathaniel, all these people. And he loved them to the end, right? Jesus loves you if you're his friend. He loves you more than you could even comprehend. And maybe you don't even care. But Jesus loves you more than you think someone could love you. And that's why he's the best friend, because he cares about you more than all of your friends care about you combined. Right? Jesus cares about you and your good more than anyone else possibly could. He'll be more patient with you. Right? You never, I know sometimes I worry, man, I can't believe this person's friends with me, because I'm such a loser, right? I feel that sometimes, but I can say, you know what? Jesus will never be so impatient with me that he'll just say, sorry, Lewis, I'm done. I can't be your friend anymore. You're too hard to love. Jesus will never feel that way about you. Jesus is the most kind person you could ever meet. And maybe that's hard for you to comprehend because you don't know him that well. Right? And that's why he's given us his word, right? You can meet Jesus and hear from him every day. And you can befriend him and talk to him and hear from him and live life with him and be close with him. And it's so hard for me to explain this to you if you're just out there and you're saying, that's not real, I don't want this, I don't like this, because you just feel it. It's one of the things you know when you know, right? If you follow Jesus, and you really do it, you'll get there, right? You'll come to know Jesus, that he's so faithful, right? Jesus never forgets about anything about you. He doesn't show up late to something that he's supposed to be at. He doesn't forget to send you the thing he's supposed to send you. He doesn't forget about that. And what I love about Jesus too is he's like us, but he's not like us at the same time, right? He's like you. He's human. He knows what it's like to be human. Jesus knows like to have parents. He knows what it's like to have people let him down. He knows what it's like to stub his toe. He knows what it's like to eat vegetables. Jesus knows what it's like to get sick. He knows what it's like to have friends that at school that make fun of him. He knows what it's like to have parents misunderstand him. He knows what it's like to be you. He knows what it's like to be 14 or 16 or 12. He knows everything, right? He's literally been there and done that. But then at the same time, he's totally unlike anyone you'll ever meet, right? Because he's God, right? He's so wise, and he's perfect, and he cares so much more than you could care, and he knows so much more than you could know, and he always does exactly what he says he's gonna do. And it's amazing to be friends with Jesus. And so maybe this is totally foreign to you. And I want you to know that you can have Jesus this way. You can have Jesus as your friend. Still your king, yes. Still your Lord, but your friend. And he will be with you and walk life with you every day. Right? And you can have him just like that for your good forever. And then one day you get to be with him and see him. And again, the whole point, this is what being a Christian is all about, right? It's not about, oh, Jesus, I just want you to get me to heaven so I can forget about you and not need you anymore. Being a Christian is all about being friends with Jesus. Because I want Jesus. I know him. I've heard from him my whole life. And one day I'm going to see him. We're going to be together. That's the whole point. And so maybe for some of you, you're just like, yes, I love, this is it. This is what I'm here for. And maybe for some of you, you're like, I kind of get some of that. And I just invite you to lean in to friendship with Jesus. And for some of you, this is totally foreign. You're saying, I don't get it. And Jesus is, they call him the friend of sinners, right? You're not below anything. Jesus will befriend you if you let him. Let's pray. And we'll talk about that more in small groups. God, we are amazed that you would want to be friends with us. You don't need to be friends with us. You didn't make us because you were lonely. You didn't make us because you needed help. You didn't make us because you were bored. You made us so that you could love us. And so I pray for all of us here that we would be able to have a closer relationship with you. For some students here, I pray that they would start a relationship with you today, that they would turn from their sin, put their trust in Jesus, to remove the hostility between them and you, that they would let go of living for themselves and start living for you. I pray for students here who maybe it's hard for them to be friends with you, but they want to be. I pray that you help them. I pray that they trust you, that they cry out to you and ask for help. And I pray for all of us here, that we would just enjoy closer friendship with you. So we're grateful for you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.